So this Sunday, we're looking at call, or more to the point, called. And that's the sermon title. The sermon title is simply the word called with a question mark. And the question mark isn't, do calls happen? Because obviously they do. We heard one in Genesis, but as clear as you can get, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. It's a call. And we sometimes think that that's what we need, that we need God to appear and speak out loud to us, or in a way that we would consider out loud, to make it as clear as that, that we are called. And I understand that. That would be nice. But not very many of us are. I'd even go so far as to say that very few of us are. Very few of us have that experience of that unmistakable divinity asking us to do something, particularly something as dramatic as picking up and leaving. And we think Abraham was 75 and he's going with his nephew and his wife Sarai. And 75. That used to be really old. Now it's late middle age and I'm not quite there yet. But let's not forget that Abram lived another 100 years after this, so it was early middle age for him. But nonetheless, pick up all your stuff and go somewhere else. And we think, if I heard a call like that, I would certainly just follow along. Or if I got a call like we see in the Gospel according to Matthew, where Jesus is walking about, he sees a tax collector, one of the hated collaborators with the Roman Empire, sitting at his tax booth. I have no idea what that would look like. And as far as we know, all Jesus says is, follow me. And Matthew sees something there. He sees the reality of who Jesus is in a way that perhaps it's hard for us to understand or imagine, but he obviously sees something because he gets up and follows him. He even invites Jesus to his home, where Jesus once again pulls the nose of the religious people, the Pharisees, the people who know what everything should be about how God is, and says, what are you doing eating with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus says, well, healthy don't need a doctor, the sick need a doctor. And in my case, I'm the doctor. I'm here not to call the righteous, but sinners. And so we think about that, and if we think of those two calls, we have this dramatic call on the one side, and we have this sort of dramatic call on the other, to be sure, but being called, you know, called sinners rather than the righteous, well, where do we fit in there? Well, in one sense, I think we fit fairly nicely into that whole not coming to call the righteous but sinners, not because for those of you who were born into a tradition that baptizes infants and vows were taken on your behalf, it doesn't mean that you always have to be saved from a dramatic life of sin, as I was sharing with the folks at Knox. There's a young man of my acquaintance when I was growing up who came to a meaningful faith in God when he was fairly young. He was one of the pastor's kids, so you know he probably got it at home as well as at church like the rest of us. And came to faith, I think, when he was 3 or 4, that kind of way, prayed with his mom and all that. And at a testimony meeting, he got up he was about 5, and he thanked God for saving him from his life of sin. And we all had a bit of a chuckle at that. But he got a hold of a theological truth there, because we are born into a fallen world, and we don't understand everything that happens when we become moral agents. We don't know exactly how old we have to be or all of that, but we know that without something happening, we are sinful people. So what might another call look like? We don't have it in our texts, although we have an allusion to it in Romans, where Paul said, it is not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise, that's the call, that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. So it appears that there is another call. And that's where we answer the question posed by the word called with a question mark. Are we called? Well, some of us, maybe not in this room, but some of us have been dramatically called. I'm sure many of us, if not all of us, know someone who felt this very strong impetus to perhaps serve as a missionary or to be called into full-time ministry or to change the job they're at to another one where they could have a different kind of impact on the community. There's all kinds of those. And some people get them. But if we don't get that, are we called? Well, yes, we are. Everybody has a call to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, and our neighbor as ourself. And we might think, well, that's not a call, that's just a thing. We all have, Is that important? Well, I would put it to you that that call is every bit as dramatic as getting up and leaving one country and going to another. Because loving the Lord our God with our heart and soul and mind, and especially loving our neighbor as ourself, is not something we naturally do. I think we can see that if we read the newspapers, if we watch television news, if we're paying attention to things going by online, we will see that there are all kinds of people who don't give much evidence of either one of those. We see people out there consistently damaging other human beings for their own profit, through their own desires, which is most certainly not loving their neighbor as themselves. And we see people destroying the created order just through wanton greed, or sometimes just through wanton carelessness. And how does that love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and in this case, actions, who created all of this world for us? So we see people who aren't living this out. The call for us to be the kind of person who does a different way of life is every bit as dramatic as being called to go from the country that you're in to another country. And in some ways, it's even harder. Because when we live out this kind of a call in the community we're in, we're doing it among people who know us. People who know what we can be like when we haven't had enough sleep. People who know how kind we can be when we're not feeling well or when we're just angry. In some ways, it's harder to live out this reality of loving our neighbor as ourselves in our own homes, because the freedom to be ourselves in our home, which is a glorious one and shouldn't be mistreated or certainly shouldn't be ignored, but our partner, our children, our parents, those people who see us often, know what we're like. Living out the reality of loving the Lord our God and loving our neighbor as ourselves is sometimes hardest at home. Probably hardest when we're still children, especially if we have siblings. Those people that know where our buttons are and are capable of pushing them by accident and certainly by intention. But we live out this life that we're called to wherever we are. And we need to take it seriously as a call upon us, every bit as profound and significant as Matthew being asked to leave this tax collector's booth behind, of Peter and the other fisher people to leave the nets and the boats behind. For us, maybe it isn't a matter of leaving our occupation or leaving our home. Maybe it's leaving behind our desire to give in to our desires. Maybe it's leaving behind that quick tongue we have with the cutting remarks that we can say later, well, I was just joking, but that wounds so deeply. Maybe we're called to drive better, to be better neighbors, to be the kind of people that are turned to when anyone needs compassion and care, rather than people who simply provide judgment for mistakes. The call that each of us has, that call to follow Jesus, involves without question and without exception a call to love the Lord our God with our heart and soul and mind, and our neighbor as ourself. And that begins where we are. We don't have to wait till we've gone somewhere. It begins in our homes. It begins with our neighbors. It begins with the people in our various communities, the physical one of our neighborhood, the clubs we're part of, the organizations we volunteer with, the people we worship with. We are called to love all of those people in a way that is every bit as dramatic as getting up and leaving all of your stuff behind, moving to... I was trying to think of an equivalent, and the world is so much smaller now, but imagine being called to move to, Uzbekistan, a place that I can barely locate on a map. Loving people is as important as going somewhere. Because when we go somewhere, what do when we get there? If we're called to go somewhere as a cross-cultural minister of some kind, we're called to go there and love them. We all have this same call. We are all called. For everyone who has a relationship with God, through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we have received a call to love those around us, to love the God and the creation that God made. And this call is every bit as important, if not as dramatic, as a burning bush, as God saying, look at the stars, so will your descendants be. Or saying, leave that tax collector's booth and follow me. Amen.